Today on this episode, what do you think we're going to talk about? Erik ten Hag finally got sacked. Well, you can hear the 55th version of what I have to say about
this. Wah, wah. Also, MLS playoffs, we recap all the matches that happened. And El Clásico, absolute drubbing by Barcelona.
Ooh, and a little Ballon d'Or.
Ooh, a little Ballon d'Or stuff. Okay, we'll get into it today. All this and more today on The Cooligans. How'd you get that gig, Tony Hinchcliffe?
Wow. Wow. When they were like, hey, here's what you should talk about at political rally. No, I got it. I'm going to bury your Latino vote real quick.
Okay. And really the heart of one of the most dynamic Latino cultures.
Yeah, yeah. And some would say the de facto capital of Puerto Rico.
Wow, man. This is, look, as a...
Or for my people, Puerto Rico.
As a comedian and as someone with the expertise in the space, this is watching that clip. I you realize very quickly, and a lot of our peers probably did the same thing, where we're like, we're so desensitized to subject matter that could actually be like considered racist or very crude or actually awful
or just super blue, you know?
Yeah, we're just like,
we hear a lot of
we've heard some. Our brains are broken when it comes to being even kind of offended by things.
Every once in a while, someone in my family will be like, yeah, you probably shouldn't talk about these things in public. And I'm like, oh, yeah, normal people don't do this.
Okay. And I'm watching it. I'm just like, I didn't laugh, but I also wasn't offended. And it is offensive, but my brain doesn't register it. It's just.
Oh, no, I immediately thought, I wonder how all those red hat Puerto Ricans are going to spin this. Hey, Nicky Jam, what you got to say now, my guy?
Anuel, you a fan of this?
Anuel, everyone good? Is everyone okay now? How you feeling?
Why weren't they booked on that show?
Jay Balvin, what do you think they're going to say about Colombia, huh?
So, but I'm watching it. I'm just like, is this the joke?
Yeah.
This is one of the hackiest joke. I mean, it's just such a bad joke. And that's it. It's just bad in the sense of like, it does not elicit laughter.
The only positive is that it's not even the positive. The only good thing about it was the structure worked.
The structure.
That is a premise. You set it up and then you hit a punchline. But all three of them were not good. Open mic.
So you can't do the, I saw the.
That would have bombed on Kill Tony.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, oh, you can do this hacky stuff again.
Wow.
the what I get frustrated with is the reaction. Because AOC and Tim Walz were doing, they were like live streaming it and reacting to it. And it was just AOC, who is Puerto Rican, was just like, all right, she's been to Kill Tony shows. She is like arguably a fan has attended. And she's just like, this is disappointing. What is this? It's just a corny ass joke. And
this is why you just can't you can't like comedians.
That goes for us too.
Yeah.
We could let you down at some point.
I feel like I already have. I think it's just you up next.
The thing that frustrates me is the reaction. Tony was upset with like Tim Walz. He was like, hey, why are you so sensitive? I'm a comedian. You need to go out and switch your tampon, Tim, or whatever. And I'm like, bro, you attended a political rally.
Yeah. Wow.
And
God, you almost told the truth. So I mean, made a mistake.
And you're like, were you upset at me? I'm the clown. I'm like, all right, well, don't the lines get blurred? It's very like obviously here.
No, honestly, dude, thank you. Thank you for not knowing that you were at a political rally, because now your words can be used against you. So your guy loses, bro.
Bro, what a ridiculous. It's just so dumb. There's so many Puerto Rican people that vote.
Yeah.
And but even the Trump campaign had to go against. They were like, hey, we don't condone. And even Trump is like, bro, that's too much for me.
Too far, dude.
I'm like, I'm not trying to be so loud about
it. Damn, bro. So, that's dinner table, bro.
I just throw paper towels at them. You know what I mean? So crazy.
I can't wait to hear what the reggaetoneros that have gone with the red hat. I can't wait to hear what my brother-in-law got to say.
This speaks.
I can't wait.
This is in our wheelhouse.
How y'all going to spin this?
Welcome. So welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans right here on Yahoo! Sports. We out here. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero. I was drinking there for a second.
That's right. Two very Latino folks.
Alexis Guerreros.
Bro, why are the podcasts have the Yo Sabo game right Bro. Here? So, all right. You want to, I mean, go to the ISO over here. Yeah. There we go. Look at that. All right. Bro. So this
Yo Sabo not to do that joke at a political rally, bro. So
absurd. So a lot to go over today. Obviously, Premier League, Clásico, MLS playoffs. But we have to immediately get right into it because we have a lot to go over today. Erik ten Hag. Cooked. Finished. Done. What's the word in Dutch? I don't know it. I gotta look
Blurgen.
Blurgen.
You've been blurgen, bro.
Okay. He is done. They hit him. Manchester United hit him with the club statement.
Damn.
When they type up the club statement and don't put anything else in the tweet, it's not club statement. Erik ten Hag's really cute. Yo, they don't do that.
It's not your club statement. Yo, he's still cooking out there, right?
Yo, we love him.
Bro, your results don't matter. It's the best game they've ever played, he said.
Club statement and the statement itself was Erik ten Hag has left his role as Manchester United men's first team coach as if it was voluntary. Erik was appointed in April 2022 and led the club to two domestic trophies, winning the Carabao Cup in 23 and the FA Cup in 24. We are grateful to Erik for everything he has done during his time with us and wish him well for the future. Ruud van Nistelrooy will take charge of the team as interim head coach, supported by the current coaching team, whilst a permanent head coach is recruited. So,
damn, it's they finally over. Got him, bro.
It's over. Probably long overdue.
What this is like? Because we've been talking about this now for over a year. When will they sack Erik ten Hag?
Mm-hmm.
This is like your wife's friend that she keeps telling you about. That like keeps complaining about her man.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're like, bro, she ain't ever leaving that guy, bro. Why you keep telling me about it? I don't even know why you're having that conversation. But why you tell me, bro, she's never gonna leave him? And then you find out one day she left him.
Brave.
I'm like, finally, bro. Should have done that before the big party last year.
Only after he started those two other families, right? Yeah, you finally found the strength.
You were okay with one, but it was the second man. When you found out the woman he was cheating on you with also got cheated on, is when you said, all right, this is enough.
How can he do this to another?
Right? How did he embarrass us?
Okay. Us sister wives. Anyway, this is basically the news came out this morning. I haven't seen anyone be like, nah, bro.
What a mistake.
He just needed a little more time. I mean, as soon as you don't have anybody supporting you, then it's all pretty obvious.
And from what we heard, remember, we have friends that go to games and are there every week, and they're supporters, and they're diehard. They were like, nah, man, the stands back him. He needs more time. The plan isn't to win the Premier League right now. It's to get back into those positions where you can make... Bro, this guy spent over £600 million, man.
That's a good chunk of change.
That's a lot of money on who? Who are you really keeping? Onana's good. Lisandro Martinez is good. Kobbie Mainoo, he brought up from the youth ranks. He's good. Garnacho, he's good. You've got four players, $600 million. Don't nobody want Antony.
Yeah.
Bro, Casemiro, okay, he scored, but he's been looking old. He's been looking past it for a while now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's not really anybody that...
Sancho, it didn't work. He let him go, even though he didn't bring him in.
I think because we're so used to, and we see, I watch the overlap, and you see Gary Neville, and you see Paul Scholes, and you see the way they talk about the club and how it was in the past, and, Roy Keane, and but even the names I'm saying, there's nobody... that is even close to that level where we're speaking about Manchester United players, like this current crop, to that level where you're like, this is going to be a legend. Like there's
Marcus Rashford's the closest. And even he's had such down season that he's got to really turn around.
He's had it's like two straight sort of down seasons. And but even if he was the guy that is like, hey, you're the pillar of this club or of this current team. He could be like, maybe he doesn't score as much, but like everybody supports him. He is a clear leader. And but that isn't really even the case. Like, to me, Bruno Fernandes is the fulfills that role. He is the captain, and he does. He's, you know, he had like kind words to say about Erik ten Hag.
Yeah, he released a ChatGPT statement.
he's doing the job that, you know, what he's saying, the things you're supposed to say. Was it on Instagram?
I think it probably was on Instagram.
Yeah. And so, but there's nobody that's really giving that, like, oh man, they're carrying the torch for that next generation, for this club. Like, that just hasn't really been the last, I don't know, arguably 5 years. There's really hasn't been anybody that does that. And it's a shame because you sort of
Scott McTominay. He had that run. He's looking good in Napoli.
He's,
man,
having a good time there. I loved it. What was that clip of? I forgot who posted it. Of people, they're doing like a man on the street and
trying to pronounce Italian. Try Scamitomano. Scatomai. They're not even trying.
Please look it up. It's so funny.
Like, bro, these letters don't go together like this in our language.
I love...
they don't have a K in the Spanish language, in the Italian language?
There's no K, but CH is the K.
But there's a guy named Kevin Lasagna.
But he is... where's he play?
He's Italian.
He's Italian, and there's no... Yeah, there's no K.
There's no K. How you?
Oh, like literally in the alphabet, there is no K.
There's no K.
Oh, interesting. Okay. The sound is there, but not the letter.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. I did not know that.
Right? There's no K or no Y.
Now we got to confirm because
there's no K or Y in the Italian language.
I'm gonna look up the Italian alphabet because you would think in
21 letters made up of 5 vowels and 16 consonants.
Yeah, there is no...
There's no J, K, W, X, Y.
Yeah, we're looking at this. Yeah. What a strange...
They're auxiliary letters. The Italian alphabet also includes 5 auxiliary letters that are used in words of foreign origin.
Ah, so they just like, they call in a substitute letter. Yeah. They're like, yo, let me borrow one from one of you.
They call in the translator. Isn't that crazy?
What an interesting thing. I did not know that they didn't have a K in there. You would think all the languages that use, what are these letters called? I forgot the name of the character set.
Wait, isn't X one of the Roman numerals?
It is, but it is a number technically, not a
M is also so. Well, I guess V is also.
Okay.
They just brought out an extra one that they don't even use. You have to be like, all right, this is what X is 10, right?
Everybody who is listening or watching this, hit us up with the today I learned.
Yeah,
today I was today.
Emmy, did you know that?
No, I did not.
Okay, that's the voice of Emmy, our producer, while Carter's out getting married.
Yeah. Oh, he already did get married. Congratulations to Carter. Yeah. He got married over the weekend. Yeah.
You get one of those as well.
Erik ten Hag. I mean, what does the future look like now? I mean, the team itself, after the loss to West Ham, which I would argue is probably not their fault, you know, the referee. And who was the VAR?
Who was it? Martin Tyler?
No. Martin Tyler is an announcer. Now. Imagine. Yeah.
Why are you in there? You saw the one in the Arsenal game was playing fantasy football?
I did not see that.
Yeah, his phone was up with the FPL.
That's hilarious. Love
bro,
it.
While they cut to the room, the guy's phone is up like this.
Yeah.
And he's got FPL and he's like, I got an idea. I think
a penalty for Holland right now would be perfect for my team.
Who's Arsenal Liverpool? So I'm sure.
You know what I mean?
But he's like, the Michael Marino goes.
Michael Oliver was the VAR. Because Michael Oliver, every time there is a controversial call, this man always seems to be involved in
somehow involved.
But the it was not called a penalty on the pitch. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't see know what we're talking about, Manchester United against
West Ham
and Matthijs de Ligt goes up for a ball that is in the box. Everybody's kind of going after this ball. And Danny Ings.
There's like a coming together about 4 players, really 3. Casemiro's there, but it's mostly De Ligt versus Danny Ings.
Danny Ings. I mean, we're looking at a freeze frame of it right now. And Ings puts his leg in to try to, hit the ball away. And so does De Ligt. They really get there at the same time.
It's a 50-50.
It is a 50-50. More, I would say there is probably a little bit more force direct coming from De Ligt's, you know, direction. Coming, he is throwing the leg in a little bit.
No, come on. Ings runs into
Ings
the...
tries to stop. I mean, we're looking... I can't play actually play the video because...
Yeah, but he stops in, like, the way a hockey player stops when they're getting towards the wall. They know they're going to hit the
correct,
wall.
Correct.
And they cushion themselves
correct.
Towards the wall.
This is not... This is a terrible penalty call. I mean, this is... It wasn't called on the pitch. The referee looked at it and should have probably went like, nah, this is a bang-bang play. There wasn't any real force. This seems like genuine contact in the box or anywhere.
Just two players that are equidistant from the ball trying to get control of the ball.
And Ings is
also why'd they use the yellow ball across the whole weekend? It didn't snow.
That's a good question. I don't know. Isn't this
orange ball is the one for the snow, but yellow ball has that been every week?
I don't pay attention to it.
Okay? Yeah, I mean either. I'm like surprised. It was the Arsenal game. I'm like, why is it a yellow ball?
Yeah. But the Ings is. I don't think either player has any genuine likelihood of like controlling the ball. Right, so I think that should have played a factor into whether,
which is why it looks like he's clattering into the lane.
Yes, and it's just a bad call. It's just like it's not, in my opinion, it is not a call that is in the essence of the game of like, is De Ligt really trying to foul him or really put in a challenge in a way that is like trying to it's not violent. It's really nothing. It's just. It's incidental contact, and Ings, yes, got the worst of it because his thigh hits, you know, De Ligt's strong ass leg. You see them? You see them thighs?
Oh my god!
Okay, them tree trunks. And it is what it is. An unfortunate call, in my opinion. I'm not even like upset because I'm so used to these calls nowadays, especially in the Premier League. It's just like the ref didn't call it. Why is the VAR even getting involved? And if the VAR does, shouldn't the ref be like, this is not the sport we love.
Yeah, this isn't why they put that rule in. And as far as I'm concerned, this could have added a cloud into the whole Erik ten Hag conversation.
Uh huh.
You know what I mean?
Meaning like, a cloud in like he didn't deserve to be sacked.
Yeah, well, you can't sack him now because of this. So I'm just happy that Ineos was like, nope, all right, we messed up in the summer. Let's get this guy out of here.
Yeah, yeah. It's frustrating. I mean, because like I'm not a Manchester United fan, but for it didn't matter what two teams were playing. If this is a call you're gonna give, like it's so. It's not even just necessarily that it's a soft penalty.
Officiating's been pretty bad across the Premier League. I mean, watching Mbappe be offside 8 times, I'm like, man, it's so fast that they do this.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like in the Premier League, there's this long gap of was he onside, was he off?
Right.
In La Liga, it's like it was offside, offside,
yeah,
offside.
Yeah,
especially on the goal. He scores the goal, he celebrates a little bit, but they're like, no, you were offside.
Maybe the nature of, I remember Matthijs de Ligt talking about why he went to Manchester United, he left Bayern. He was just like, more people, there's more attention, there's more eyes on the Premier League. That's why I wanted to go there. And it's like, yes, right? And then maybe
you wish for.
Yeah, but maybe the referees are affected by that as well. Like maybe they feel the pressure to make a call, like even if it even slightly looks like a penalty.
I don't see that. I honestly think the pressure is, well, they got my VAR is going to call it anyway, so I'm just going to say what I want here. And then we can sort of officiate it afterwards.
I think, you know, and I've mentioned this before, it does feel like in the Premier League in particular, that the refs are much more reluctant to go against the VAR. And I just think in general...
But the VAR doesn't make a suggestion, right? It says like...
The VAR makes a suggestion. Say, I think you made a clear and obvious error.
No, they tell you to go... I mean, unless it's like, no, you missed this. It's go to the board. We think we see something different. It's not a, yo, that was a foul, should be a penalty. It's, hey, come to the screen. We think there's contact.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not giving you what the call should be. It's telling you, hey, there's something you might not have seen. Or we think you and we think you were harsh here. Come to the screen and check. That's how it's viewed. That's how it's used.
No, but I mean, you saying like you think it was harsh here. That's not
what
a factor.
Saying.
That's not a factor at
I'm
all.
I'm not embellishing, but I'm using that as like a general tone. Uh-huh. I think it's the call you made. Hey, I don't think I see that contact. Come to the screen. And
correct.
Check.
Correct. Yeah.
So it's either I see something or I don't see what you saw. Come to the screen and just verify. Or yeah, I think this player was not nearly as close as you think it was. Whatever it is, it's not a yo. This is a penalty. Come check. Sometimes they'll recommend that should have been a penalty. Come to the board and check, but it's not telling you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But in this scenario, the only reason the VAR is able to tell the referee that they should come to the screen is because, hey, I think you missed a potential penalty.
Yeah.
So that inclination to say, like, I think you missed a penalty here. So, you know, the referee on the center referee obviously doesn't have the same view that the VAR does, and mm-hmm. they're getting all these angles and stuff like that. So given he saw all these angles, he's like, this is a potential penalty. I think the referee, knowing what he just experienced, he saw it in real time. He was on the pitch. He was a couple, you know, yards away. Then he's like, all right, let me go look at it. Looking at it, take the information from the context of what happened in the game in that exact moment. And what the VAR is suggesting, and looking at the angles, and that should the on field decision should outweigh what you're seeing in slow motion here. It's just not in the essence of the game. I don't understand why he's agreeing with the VAR. And this seems like one where probably nobody's mad at him if he changes his mind or doesn't go with the VAR's decision. So this is. It's disappointing. So because just like we know, the Premier League has the most attention, most eyes in the league. So there's a lot of, I think people, I think MLS did this a lot, and just the way it's refereed around the world, Premier League is starting to become like this, like, all right, well, we're not going to do it like them. I mean, yeah, it's like they have all the attention. You see how mad people are at them?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're like, let's do it a little bit.
We'll do our own thing.
We'll do our own thing.
Why don't we do it correctly? Have you thought about that?
Because, yeah, I just feel like they just disagree with the VAR. It's
where,
crazy.
Where is the tech? I mean, Premier League, you know what I just realized when we went to Old Trafford? Remember, there's no screen there?
There's no screen, yeah. Yeah, there's no monitor.
Anfield doesn't have a screen.
Well, I've not been to Anfield, but is
I'm
that
telling you,
yeah, it doesn't happen. Okay, yeah, that's just like a. This is how it was.
You know how I know that? Obviously, we've been to Old Trafford, so we know that mm-hmm. for sure. But I forgot that. But do you know how I know that? Because they were talking. They were asking Howard Webb, one of those overlap things about like the technology, and he was like, "We can't do it. We can't do the offside, the semi-automated offside. It's not even a screen."
Yeah,
I was like, that can't be an excuse.
Yeah, dude.
That's like saying, like, we can't have Christmas. There's no tree. What are you gonna do? Well, I'm gonna put the gifts on the what? The couch?
Some of these stadiums are very, very old, and then they also some lean on.
Talking about two of the biggest clubs in the world.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Just like, I mean, you don't need the Cowboy Stadium screen. Nobody's asking
for
that.
No one's asking for that. No one says you need to bring in the New York Knicks t-shirt cans.
Okay.
But could you give your fans a screen?
Just a little bit, just so they can get another look at what's going on. Even for a replay, it's kind of nice.
It's ridiculous. How do you even let the fans know that a VAR call is being checked?
Sure. I mean,
they're just sitting there in silence, not being told anything?
There's a stadium announcer that is... task,
but now this guy's got to do everything.
Okay, so yeah, wild decision, wild stretch, and we'll see what happens with Manchester United. But I have this little feeling that Everton's gonna finish above Manchester United this season, which would just feel great.
New low for Manchester United.
Okay,
Nottingham Forest, Mike.
Man, Everton and Manchester United just having these relegation battles.
Oh damn,
dude, it's gonna be
Who's
great.
Who's gonna survive?
Final day of the season. So a couple other things in the Premier League that we got to get to before we get to our next segment, where we'll talk MLS playoffs. But Brighton Wolves. This was an entertaining game that ended 2-2. The main reason I bring it up for two reasons. Danny Welbeck, what kind of a season is this man having?
Yo, timeless at this point.
This man is back. Okay, I think Manchester United could, you know, sign him again, yeah, bro.
Arsenal probably should bring him back in, to be honest with you.
He's looking great. For Brighton, but they were up 2-1 and they were doing pretty well against Wolves. They probably should have won this game. But there's a wild moment towards the end of the game in the around 93rd minute. It is a 4v1. Brighton have an opportunity. You know, Wolves are sending everybody forward to try to equalize the game. Brighton, they're in a 4v1. I forgot who it was on the wing. I think it was one of the wingers. If you have four of your teammates, they're wearing the white and blue stripes, and all you gotta do is pass it to one of them that are wide open and for essentially a 1v1 against the goalkeeper, and he passes it to the only defender that is there.
Could you imagine? Literally could have pressed any button on that controller and would have scored.
You gotta hit the square button, yeah. Lob it over.
Yeah. No, any button.
Even an errant shot would have been
you
a better
passed
decision.
The ball forward and then ran up onto it and caught it and still probably scored.
So they're 4v1 and luckily nothing
happened after that.
Right? Unluckily, something did. The Brighton player passes it to the Wolves player, essentially controls it, sends a long ball to Mateus Cunha, who receives the ball and takes a shot on goal, deflection, and in for a goal. Wolves fans go crazy at the Amex. And just a goofy decision that couldn't...
Goofy's a great word for it.
Because it's one of those things where you did the only thing wrong.
Yeah.
That you could have done. You had so many options for success.
And somehow this completely goes against you and everything. You caused the club... In a 4v1, imagine you go into a 4v1 and somehow you cost the club 2 points.
Because you can, if it was like a corner and they equalize and it's like, oh, bro, they got us. They were putting pressure. But you can't go directly from, in the 93rd minute, from a 4v1 that should be a tap-in to go the complete opposite direction.
And they score on
you.
Could you imagine had he ran it into the corner? He would have been like, oh, he should have won. But you know... knowing then what you know now, that's probably the best move would have been if you just ran it into the corner. If you just ran it into the touchline, if you just kept running straight and then it caused a goal kick, they still wouldn't have scored.
And I think there's maybe a giddiness of a 4v1 situation, which barely exists.
Right. Your brain's like,
is this, am I playing EAFC?
Right.
Is this my child's U9 game?
Right.
You know what I mean? This
was like in the fifth grade dance when the cutest girl in school came up to me. She goes, do you want to dance? And my brother was like, do we dance?
Okay, yeah.
Even though I've been dancing the whole night.
That's exactly what a 4v1 situation
100%.
Is. 100%. I hope the analogy was helpful to everyone.
My brain was like, I don't think we dance.
So unfortunate, bro, because the mistake leads to the most embarrassing thing that could happen on the other end.
No, and the worst thing for you and your club.
Yeah, yeah. And dropping
Fabian Hurstler has got to be like, God damn it.
So
we got to go on. We got to do 4v1s in practice now.
Tyler Adams came back for Bournemouth in a draw.
Happy to see him back.
So that was great to see him. He seemed very, very, very excited, especially when that equalizer went in. But Tyler Adams, I don't know. What are you expecting from him for the rest of the season? For me, it's simply don't get injured again.
Yeah, yeah. Be healthy. Play 90 minutes. Be as influential as you have been in the past.
That is
it. Be that leader on the pitch. Give Pochettino a little bit of calmness.
Whatever Pulisic is doing, because he left England and... Hamstring seems to be mad chill. No issues. You know, knock on wood, happy about that. Pulisic needs to tell Tyler exactly what his routine is,
right.
Or whatever. Cole Palmer next. Gets an assist. Oh no, he didn't get an assist. He got the key pass in the game.
Chances
in the first
created,
goal.
Chances,
I mean, it was the ball that
it's ridiculous.
That pass to is it Pedro Neto? What's his first name? Forget his first name.
I think it is Pedro Neto.
That pass is literally, it's one of those like most beautiful passes of the season type of thing, right? And I love
it's a shame that it wasn't an assist because it almost that deserves to be an assist more than
It's a hockey assist,
If it was MLS, he'd get it.
Yeah, exactly. Change the rules, bro.
Come on, step up. Have you heard about Tam?
I love the fact that he made we were watching the highlight before, and you made a great point. You just said a great thing. You said like to be a great footballer, you have to like not have anything in your mind.
You have to be devoid of a thought.
Like
you play at the level of instinct.
Yeah, it is. It felt like such a pass that like came from his soul.
Yeah,
it is instinctive.
No thought process. No thought. There was no calculation. There was no beautiful mind.
There wasn't like, oh, this pass may not get there or whatever. It was
his foot made that decision because his brain was just like. Just a whistling Dixie.
His brain is just doing his celebration all day, right?
His brain's like, huh? What? What?
The Jack Grealish, right? But he gets the ball in kind of, you know, right above his own box.
18-yard
box. And he's just like kind of controlling it. There's a couple defenders around him. And he's like, but he
Pedro Neto sprints. He bounces.
Sprints. And but while Palmer's back is like to him, right? Yeah. He's not even really seeing him, but he's like, let me just get over there because anything could happen.
Yeah.
Or at least even just to create some space. But Palmer sends the ball between not over the defender, to basically the defender's left, if he's facing Palmer, right? And just in that gap that also I'm like, why is Neto that fast? I did not realize he was that fast.
When did he pick that speed up?
Because he got
there. But there was only one place that ball could have gone and made it there. And that's exactly what happened.
It was so precise. And the center back the Newcastle center back who tried to clear it, Neto gets there first and just like hits it right over him.
Yeah.
And jumps over the sliding defender and then sends it to Nicholas Jarr. It was just such a beautiful play that we're sort of not. We got to just accept like Maresca's doing something.
I said it before the season started.
With this, they're really looking like they're
he
like
he was great at Leicester, man. I really thought this guy could figure it out, and I knew he was up for the challenge of a Premier League club when they started sort of asking him a lot of questions about the 44 players on the roster. And he said, "I have my 23. I don't care about the rest of them.
Yeah,
hopefully they find somewhere to go. But I'm only dealing with the 22 or 23 that I have in my camp in my roster." And I'm like, bro, he's handling the English media in the way that Erik ten Hag never did, which is answer directly and with a little bit of force, and they'll leave you alone. Erik ten Hag was like, what are you talking about? That was the greatest game I ever. So what? We lost 7-0. What are you talking about? That was we finally started doing the transition.
Yeah,
you know?
they're playing with a real identity, but they are And all over the pitch. I mean, the defenders, Fofana's looking great.
Everybody.
Levi Colwell, everybody. Even
Cucurella.
Reece James. Reece James is back. And Maresca, he had like kind of choice words about him, saying that he expects more out of Reece James. But he was very like stern. Like basically, he's not coming back. And being anointed, like, oh yeah, everything's all the same. Like you're gonna have to basically earn the respect that you're gonna gain at this club.
Been gone for 2 years.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I thought he played great in the game as well. So shouts to Chelsea, turning it around.
Yeah.
What seemed like what could be a mess, but it looks like
I have a feeling that they will be the fourth in the four big teams.
Okay.
In the Champions League spots, I think it's gonna be between City, Arsenal, Liverpool, however you want that to fall.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it will. I think the fourth team we'll be talking about will be Chelsea.
Yeah. More than anything, I can. The thing that is what feels good to say is that Chelsea are kind of fun to watch. Overall, I'm like, these games are entertaining. Yeah. So credit
Nottingham Forest in seventh.
Yeah, that's a wild one.
It's crazy.
Was it Chris Wood?
Have an insane season,
which is another, a guy
that looks like a construction worker.
My man, he's the Kai Kamara. My man's played every club.
He has played for a lot.
He's
of
played for a
teams.
Lot of clubs, and it's seemingly working out very, very well for him there. So, Arsenal, Liverpool, real quick, we'll wrap here. 2-2. The lead when the early goal from Saka, I'm like, all right, Saka's back. Good for him.
Right. Took two games off because of the hamstring. He's back, baby.
And then, you know, the set piece, and it is what it is. Yeah. You can't really.
From the training ground, they try to do the flick at the post.
Yeah.
Havertz should have been there. Havertz should have had his back turned.
No
to the
Saliba.
Players.
You think maybe he's there, Mark, you know, in front of
I don't know
Van
because
Dijk. I don't know.
The first ball is what would have stopped it. I don't know if Saliba would have been able to do much with that. But clearly from the training ground, it worked. You know?
And then the goal from Mika Marino was
incredible.
That was that ball from Rice was
you literally get any part of your body
scrumptious. Yeah. It's just something because and for his first Arsenal goal to be essentially like a diving header.
Yeah. So perfect.
Yeah, it was just such a perfect ball.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, that's a goal.
Yeah.
And he had almost scored a goal in the same one, but it was just a little bit too far. Tried to get his foot to it and it went wide. He almost scored on a similar opportunity, mm-hmm. similar free kick from the same area. And it just didn't work. So I knew they were going to go back to the same thing, and it worked.
Yeah.
But look, you end the match with no Gabriel Magalhães, no Jurrien Timber. You've got a makeshift back line. I kind of figured, I even said this to D while I'm watching the game. I was like, this team is too good on the counter. We're giving the ball away. We're not taking opportunities in front of goal. And that's exactly like 3 minutes later is exactly what I said would happen.
Yeah.
Happened. It was just frustrating to watch. But at the end of the day, and maybe 3 points is what was needed, and you don't want to be 5 points out at this early in the stage. I get all those things. For me, without William Saliba, without Galafiori, without the backline we want, without Odegaard,
yeah, it's
you're just saying like, yo, I know it's Liverpool still. Like, if you walk in here, we could still get a draw. On the show, I said draw, and boom, I was right.
Yeah, it's a the frustrating part here as the you know the person who is just like anybody but City.
Yeah,
it's City loves this, right? They ended up winning 1-0 against Southampton. So, all right, we gotta take a quick.
We gotta talk about Clásico.
We gotta talk about Clásico. We'll do that in the third segment, but we have to talk MLS playoffs because there were a bunch of games. So we'll recap that just after this. Come right back. The Major League Soccer Cup playoffs are happening right now. All right. I got to say the whole thing. The whole
government, bro.
The government name.
Put the government out there like that, bro.
That's just to let you know how serious it is, bro.
It's like, I feel exposed.
Okay. We're in the first round. It's the best of three. It's still the first game of the best of three games.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really feel like the playoffs yet. The stakes don't feel high enough. Maybe the second game starts together because it is a.
This feels like the other qualifying round.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to break through this, you know, what, best of three?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, all right, now you for real.
Sure. But even after, once you get past the first one, then you know in the next game, they're decisive games.
Because you mean like the intensity's
ratcheted up. The intensity's high. Somebody could be out of the playoffs at this point. The first games are just like, let's just feel each other out. Let's see where we are. See where we stand.
Let's hold hands. Walk through a park.
What is it?
Get to know each other.
What are we? What does this relationship mean? So
maybe I'm not going to like your family. Maybe you're not going to like my family. You know?
The first round started with Miami and Atlanta Friday night. And this is already feeling there's something happening with Miami games. And we know MLS, they're going to try to
hype it up.
They're gonna take advantage of it. All the celebs were. Did you see the Chad Ochocinco dapping up Suarez and Messi?
I saw him like run up to a fan wearing his jersey. Did you see that?
You saw him being Ochocinco. Ochocinco. Yeah. There was a fan. Yes, I did see that too. Okay. He didn't run up. Are you saying it like he was excited to meet a fan that was wearing his jersey?
He hugged him.
He
hugged him and they jumped around in a circle. This is a celebrity. I mean, I don't. Right. You don't think he was excited? That's just how he greets people he's not excited about?
I mean, he's like, he saw him from like, you know, two blocks away and ran over there and with Ochocinco speed to get there. All right, whatever.
That's kind of what happened.
Okay. But Ochocinco was dapping up Messi and Suarez. And I don't know if you saw our friend Pablo Mauro, his tweet. And he said that, I'm paraphrasing because the internet's down right now. I can't pull it up. But he said that it was giving a lot of, does anybody know who this guy is? Energy.
Oh, yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Messi's like, who's dapping me up? Why?
think I meant this comments.
So Ocho Cinco retweeted it, which is great too. So
Suarez seems like the kind of guy who would be like, I don't know you. Doesn't matter if everyone else telling you you're famous. Suarez would be like, explain to me who you are.
Luis Suarez did an interview after the game in English with Jillian Sackovic. And his English is still pretty good. He obviously played in England for a long time. And his English just like...
Was it like, very happy for a wing?
No, it's a little bit of that. Yeah. But he has a much... His voice, I think, is like deeper in English. There's a stoicism.
Really? Usually they go the other way.
Yeah, right? Yeah. No, he's...
You go higher. Yeah. Like, I may not get the words right, but from my tone, you're going to know I'm going to say something positive.
I'm confident about about to say. So I was impressed. It was great to see you guys, because especially from those guys from, you know, Suarez, Messi, and Alba, mm-hmm. and Busquets, you don't really ever hear them speak English. So that was cool to see. But the...
No, I'm very good.
The fanfare was there, right? People were excited for the game.
Well, yeah, it's an Inter-Miami playoff game.
Yes, and they were they should have dominated the game, but Atlanta like held on, and credit to them. They ended up tying the game 1-1, and the fact that they only lost 2-1 I thought was impressive in itself.
Right. Now, let me offer the counterpoint, which is you had them at home.
Mm-hmm.
This was your best chance.
Yeah, arguably.
Yeah, and you still couldn't.
Yeah.
So there's my counterpoint to you being somewhat positive about Atlanta.
I mean, look, this scenario, what I'm excited about for Atlanta is that they do get a home game and it's going to sell out and the full stadium is going to be open. There'll be 70, over 70,000 people there. And so I'm just, you know, Arthur Blank's going to make a little bit of money.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right.
Arthur Blank's like, we're paying for that U.S. soccer training. One shot.
This is the game that will pay for that. And so maybe, you know, they'll at least have a good time taking another L. I would be impressed if you get
a draw. It goes to pens.
It goes to pens. Yeah, somebody has to win the game.
Oh,
so
that's right. They should have allowed draws.
No, because then it gets into aggregate points and stuff like that.
No, then you go to penalties in the last match.
Well, I think that's how it used to be. That's how it was when MLS had the best of three. And
I think it's been penalties after each every time.
Even when it was best of three back then?
It was best of three way back in the day?
Yeah. Back in the day, it was best of three.
I don't remember that.
It was, yes. We have gone back to it, but I don't think it went to pens after those games. I could be wrong. I don't remember.
Shootout?
Bring back the old MLS shootout.
Why not?
So the next game's going to be entertaining, to say the least. And we'll see how much, you know, again, artificial pitch. We'll see how much all those guys play.
Yeah. Maybe Messi doesn't want to play on the turf.
I thought Atlanta held their own, and it was great.
Can Suarez handle playing on turf like that?
He looks fine. He's 20 goddamn goals. I think he'll be okay.
I'm just worried about his knees.
Really, the team to hold down, I would say defensively, Inter Miami, Atlanta did pretty well in this game. They only allowed two goals, but. Arguably, I think the two teams that held Miami to like a reasonable standard
is one of them, little New York City.
Yes, I think NYCFC and Columbus Crew have been the two teams that. The speaker is.
I was about to say, how did I not hear a sound? Sorry if you heard the applause twice there.
Those two teams, I think, are handling it pretty well. Ian Frey, did you see this? Mm-hmm. Just unbelievably, it's just so. Gutting. This is crazy. It's like such a ridiculous situation. How is this? So Ian Frey, I believe the homegrown for Inter Miami, tears his ACL towards the end of this game.
Was that four?
And this is his third ACL tear. I think this was on
Messi held up his jersey at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, because when Messi arrived, he had gotten injured and he had the ACL tear and he'd like. Dedicated, I think it was like League's Cup. I think he like dedicated the win to Ian Frey, and then when Ian Frey scored,
now you got to win MLS Cup.
Yeah, so when Ian Frey scored this season, he was like, I dedicate that goal to Messi. Which is like, oh my, wow, sweet is this? This is incredible. Yeah. And then
was it the other leg? Because that's always what happens, right? They
he's already had ACL tears on both legs. So this is
when you compensate, you injure the other one.
It's so crazy. And I just saw a video about when you tear your ACL, like somebody was asking, like, why does it take so long to heal? I think it might have been on AFTV. They were interviewing a surgeon or a doctor or something like that. And he basically said that it's a ligament. It's like a tendon and a ligament, and I'm going to get them wrong, but like a tendon stretches and a ligament doesn't, something along those lines. It might be vice versa. But when they have to get a, let's say, a ligament from another, like from your another part of the leg, and then they put it into your knee, and that in itself, your body, it takes about 9 to 12 months for it to harden. And there's no technology, there is nothing where the human body can just make this process go faster. So this is why it takes a year to recover from an ACL injury, because the ligament or whatever will not, it needs to harden, and that's how long it takes.
That's why I don't exercise, bro. I mean, it's just we're stretching the body to a point where it just doesn't go.
So
how does Tommy John surgery faster than that?
Right. It's almost like a similar injury. Yeah.
It's the same. It's just the other one. You're putting the thing in your arm.
Yeah, right, in your elbow, right? Tommy John is your elbow. Yeah, yeah. Unfortunate.
The knee of the arm, if you will.
Okay, for all, I mean, if a doctor, you know, speak, it's a little too complicated for you.
I will say, if your doctor talks like me, change your doctor. It's a good sign that your healthcare is not a little bussing.
Bit concern for you.
Yeah.
Absolutely got it for the kid, man. And we'll see. I know, you know, some people are kind of suggesting, like, is it the end of his career? Should he retire? Like, how much do you do this? Three ACLs is unbelievable.
Then Jordan Angeli had three ACLs, right?
I don't know.
I think she did.
Yeah, shout out to Jordan Angeli, soccer wise, and the Rapids and stuff. Yeah. Speaking of the Rapids, let's just hop there. They lose 5-0 to the Galaxy.
Which reminds me, we will talk about Real Madrid and Barcelona.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll even though it was 4-0, yeah.
Look, they're in LA, or Carson and some people. Some LAFC fans get a little.
Yeah, they're in LA County. We'll give them that.
They're there, okay.
They're in the vicinity.
Ricky Puig has another incredible game, and it's hard to explain. I guess, you know, maybe not having Georgi Mihajlović is a big deal and has a big effect, but to lose 5-0, especially Zach Steffen, who just got called up to the national team.
Didn't get used.
They didn't get played. Yeah, he didn't get any minutes. But this is not a great start to these playoffs. I know I'm more than anything, it's just embarrassing. Robin Fraser for everybody. Yeah. Robin Fraser was the former
Chris
coach.
Armas.
Chris Armas, sorry.
I was like, is he an assistant?
Just a terrible, terrible look for a team that has looked pretty good this year.
I think at the end of the day, it's a positive that you got into the playoffs if you're Colorado.
It's interesting because
based on last season, like, yeah, all right, we good. We made it this far.
The end of the season, you know, Galaxy lose late to Houston. And then the LAFC gets the number one spot. Yep. LAFC arguably got the tougher opponent in Vancouver.
Yeah,
because Vancouver looked pretty good against them. And if they didn't hit Brian White doesn't hit the post. Early on, they have a really, really good chance to win this game. But just an embarrassing performance for Colorado, and hopefully they can turn things around at home. But again, just credit to LA Galaxy, because again, Ricky Puig is from when he got to this team to where they are now, it is remarkable, and he's having a great time, and he is coming. I think he talked about this in an interview. He has like a friend that is helping him with his goal celebrations, which is
a dancer.
When you have enough money, you can hire a homie to just just come. You my celebration guy.
The guy had to call his finance company, the finance job, and be like, I'm not coming in. I just got hired by Ricky Puig to be a selly guy. So
cell phones? You selling cell phones?
Sellies, baby.
Okay. Because Ricky Puig brought out the Euro step.
Yeah.
Which is fitting.
He did
Spanish
moonwalk.
Man.
previously than he did Eurostep representing where he from.
That's right. He's done the.
Should we check if FC Barcelona's doing well in Eurobasket? I mean, are they crushing right now?
He did the Dragon Ball Z. I think he did a Hadouken. He might have done. I think he did something a Dragon Ball move as well.
We should recommend one to him.
I'm happy to do it. We saw him at the EAFC event. Oh, but man, this so. Man, he's clearly a man of culture. Mm-hmm. He's taking ideas from a lot of different folks. All right. So, you know, there's no reason why we can't make a couple suggestions as well.
I'm just saying.
Maybe
we could do a little hop the turnstile. Get two players to do this.
Oh, bro.
You hop the turnstile.
Okay. And then you give the finger to Eric Adams. Hey,
who then asks you for a bribe. It's a pretty difficult celebration. First,
you have to be a Turkish player.
Yeah. You're going to get a building out of this. Okay. So don't worry about it.
This is a very in-depth celebration, but I promise you it's going to pay off.
And I know you're on the other go, but trust me, we'll get it out here.
So... the only other
we gotta do it. Yo, some NYCFC player has to do a hop the turnstile celly.
That'd be sick.
That'd be crazy.
I'm sure they'll get in a huge trouble by somebody.
For a move.
Okay. You cannot be promoting that. Anyway.
One player has to lay on the ground with his legs out like that and you hop over them.
On the bottom of the studs. You touch the studs and you hop over.
No. They're the turnstile.
Oh, they're the turnstile.
So then two other players stand like this and you use them to hop over the two legs that are out like that. The ground.
This sounds like a synchronized swimming routine.
Yo, Lola Bont is listening right now. Like, I could do this.
Man, these guys have some interesting ideas.
Bro, a New York City FC player has to do a hop the turnstile goal celly.
I love it.
It would break the internet in New York. You'd get on your.nyc.
Is that why our internet is not working right now? That's how they've broken it. NYCFC do play their game tonight. We're obviously recording before their match, but they're going to be facing FC Cincinnati. Orlando beat Charlotte, and the only, I think, controversy here, Biel, the midfielder for Charlotte, got sent off late in the game for kicking out. And this the head coach Dean Smith said that he's going to be appealing. I think this was in Top In 90 on Instagram. We met the dude that runs it. I think he asked him a question like if to Dean Smith, if you do not win the appeal, what are you going to do? And Dean Smith said, well, I think I'm going to apply to be on the board, like the independent panel board, right, to vote on whether they win the appeal or not, because he feels that he wasn't. This is an interesting, I don't know how much of a debate it is, but the theory going out is that Biel, I forgot who the defender, the center back,
I don't remember,
the blonde haired guy, I forgot his name. But the claim that some people are making was that Biel's stud got stuck in the laces of the defender.
So he didn't kick out. He was dragged.
His leg was pulled upwards, which is why it looked like he might have been kicked. Because he does extend his leg. Like, he straightens out his leg. You see his knee go from a bent position to straight. Not really necessarily a kick, but this is where the game has gone. Where it's like, no, it wasn't me. My stud got stuck in the laces.
120 frames per second. I've got the boot manufacturer on the phone.
Listen to him. Yeah. I have evidence, officer.
Bro, the guy's using bungee laces, and at the end of the day, I think that's illegal.
But man, you see rubber bands in his laces. Yeah. You can't allow this.
Magnets? I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm just saying it could be.
Okay. So that's what.
How do they even work?
So we'll see if he's back in the next game, but he was sent off for it. So
that is something you should be able to appeal if your foot gets stuck in someone else's laces.
Hilarious. But the ref was like looking straight at him. Mm-hmm. Like, there was no, he wasn't even mildly uncertain that he wasn't going to send them off. He was like, bro, you kicked out. All right. So, yes, MLS playoffs continue tonight. So, obviously, we're going to be watching NYCFC for sure. But a lot to look forward to. All right, we got to get to El Clásico.
El Clásico is huge.
We'll talk big, big game. So, we'll talk about that right after this.
Don't know if you were watching El Clásico.
I caught it.
Christian. Mm. You know, they should probably rate it R. Because this was...
kids, turn away. Look away, kids.
This was a bodying of all bodying. If I was 12 years old, you know what I would comment? I would say, yo, Barca 8. That's what I would say.
Damn, bro. That sounded terrible.
Barca 8.
You sounded 50 years old saying that.
Bro, that's what I would say. That was uncomfortable, that second half.
It was the first half. You sort of felt like, oh, Real Madrid.
It felt like I'm like, bro, am I gonna watch a 0-0? Yeah.
Oh no, there were a couple chances that were missed. I thought Real Madrid were going to score early. I thought there were at least like two chances.
So had things gone a little bit better for Barca, they probably walk in at least 1-0. At least 1-0 into the half.
Sure, sure. This was a game where I
said a little better for Real. I might have said Barca.
Got it. We talked about this a couple weeks ago about just like Mbappe just settling in and just looking like a Real Madrid player.
Ain't happening.
It's not there yet.
Not happening.
It's not about the quality. It is just about the chemistry with the rest of his team. 8 offside calls on Mbappe alone.
Eight.
Eight.
It's 8 out of the 11.
That's crazy.
That's not good, dog. Like, you remember the Mbappe from the World Cup final, bro, with a hat trick?
Imagine if you heard Erling Haaland was offside 8 times, you'd be like, no, that's not even a thing.
You played with a head injury? Is what I would ask.
Mbappe, there was one where he gets past Balde, and
this isn't the one where he scores.
This is the one that he scores. Yeah. He's looking at Balde, he's reading the name on the back of his shirt. He is clearly behind Balde, offside, and he's like, yo, give me the rock. Yo. I'm out here.
Right here, baby. No one's around
bro. They haven't figured me out.
Look how clear I am, bro. Straight to goal.
So he's offside so much that you can just tell that there's something. He's not settled in as far as like getting the timing. This is just like a wide receiver who's not supposed to run before the ball is snapped.
So I think I've explained this to you. You know how like people in Europe can watch American television? They got one of them little doohickeys.
Yeah.
I may or may not have acquired a doohickey.
want to watch that enthralling British television?
No, I want to watch American television 35 seconds later than everyone else. I was watching. I turned on completely legally. I watched Spanish television.
Got it.
And I was like, I wonder what they're saying. Mm-hmm. This is the reason I got it, right? Because I have to talk about every goddamn league now for 2 hours every morning. So I kind of want to be like, what are they saying? Like, how are they actually taking it? Because I feel like we end up getting a filtered version of it sometimes. Of like, what's the real reaction? We get like the, I'm being paid to pay attention to this, but this isn't my lifeblood. I get to see what those people. One guy, clearly a Real Madrid, I don't think he was a former player. I just think he's a longtime journalist. He said he thought Mbappe was over-inspired. He was too inspired.
Damn, bro.
He was so locked in.
Works for Mbappe's PR agency.
Yo, I'm like, yo, deadass. This guy's last name might be, you know, Mopez. Dude, this guy said he was over-inspired. Like, he wanted to score so bad that he was forcing it. I give some credence to that, right?
It's his first Clásico. He's like...
But remember, because of the way the season has started, people have said... He needs to show up in a Clásico. This is where real players showed up. And the message was supposed to go directly to Mbappe. And just behind him, it went around Mbappe and it hit Lamine Yamal. This kid was like, I heard what you just said. And I'm going to take it to the heart.
Lamine Yamal, when he scored his goal, the celebration.
The calma, bro.
The calma. He did one of these. Like, yo, this is my house.
He did Cristiano Ronaldo's celebration in Cristiano Ronaldo's house.
The house that Cristiano built, bro.
Yeah, and I know. We know.
There's a couple other folks. Yeah. Anyway, you know what I mean.
Michael Owen, who else? This was, to me, this isn't a... Like, there's always been that question of, like, is he just a child that playing with the bravery. Thank you. Words matter, folks. He played with the bravery that only a child could play with. This was a moment where I'm like, oh no, this is a man. This is a man with contempt in his heart.
This 17 year old is manlier than we are,
right,
bro? The confidence for his goal. I think says a lot. The fact that he was, you know, like he gets there were a couple other moments where I think it might have been Rafinha that he had like other opportunities in the game,
right?
But he took that chance like with a little bit of the confidence. Yeah, he was celebrating, be like, yo, this is my house or whatever. But it was a little bit also like to his teammates, get me the ball when I'm open.
Give me the rock.
Because you see what I can do. And the kid is left footed. You've seen the bang of the left foot that, at the World Cup or at the Euros. And then you see he bangs it with his right.
He's like, guys,
pass. Luna was like,
just
what?
Unlocked the new foot, y'all.
Luna was like, what is this going on?
He looked like he was like, get it off me.
Yeah.
You know? Like you throw a fake snake at your friend.
Yeah, dude. There was an annoying fly in his face. He's like, get out of here.
I'm trying to eat.
So Lamine Yamal's goal was just oozing in confidence. And same thing with Lewandowski. I watched Lewandowski and I'm like, see, Killian, be like that. Be like that guy. You see he's not fast. Mm-hmm. He's not trying to beat anybody. He is just, he does what his team needs him to do.
Mm-hmm.
Confident, poised, good touches.
You're talking about Lewandowski.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
He's just doing everything kind of in a calm way. And when you mentioned like Mbappe being like, you know, the guy saying he's over-inspired, it's over-inspired may not be the exact word. Almost overly ambitious. Overly being, or maybe feeling like, oh, I got to do this
I think it's he's putting too much pressure on himself.
Yes.
To score in that moment. And I think you saw that in his goal celebration before the goal gets called back.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, baby, I just chipped him.
Yeah.
I just chipped. Did you see I chipped him?
Right.
And meanwhile, the guy's like, bro, you didn't do nothing. Get over here.
Dude, an impressive game. I mean, I really, really liked how Lewandowski played in that game and the two goals he should have had. He should have had four goals.
Yeah, he could have had more. I think, I also think just like bird's eye view looking at this, Real Madrid, Carlo Ancelotti should be embarrassed.
Yeah.
4-0 at home?
Mm-hmm.
4-0 at home when you're the reigning European champion? Bro, this shouldn't go down lightly. This shouldn't be taken too easily.
I agree.
You lost 4-0. And yeah, I think we all agree that Real Madrid didn't play terribly. They kept getting caught.
Sure.
That's how I'm phrasing it. Because I don't think they played terribly. But you saw Barca was able to expose that back line that has been a little bit iffy, that you've been sort of making do. And we all saw Champions League and we're like, oh, they came back against Dortmund. We didn't realize first half Real Madrid was going to show up, the team that gave up two goals that needed to come back against Borussia Dortmund.
Yeah, I thought there was a chance that Vinny had that he shot it to the near post that I think he scores that goal. That's that sets a real tone. But I got to give credit. It's Barcelona and Hansi Flick has the team playing with a lovely kind of confidence. It's not even about it being stylish or not, because I think both teams have that capability to be super stylish. But the yellow card that I think, who was it that got it? I think it was Marc Casado where he hugged and held on to Vinicius Jr. towards the end of the game. They're up 3 or 4-0 already.
Mm-hmm.
And holding him, he's like, I'm going to pick up this yellow
because
I don't want them to score even one.
A clean sheet.
I want a clean sheet that badly.
Which, by the way, my bet for Morning Footy had both teams to score. So I'm like, let them go.
Let
them get just one. Just a little something. A little something.
So that kind of mentality is great to see.
Hansi Flick got this team. Yeah, but first of all, the high line is crazy.
Okay, yeah, I love it. It's one of my favorite tourist attractions in
Manhattan. Yeah. Bro, you can walk from 34 all the way to 15.
It's lovely.
In fact, the high line is wider than how the gap between the forwards and the back line. Dude, Barcelona gets so high. It's a high wire act. And I can't believe that the offside trap has worked so well in this match.
Mbappe was like, I can't figure it out. I don't
know. So I'm supposed to stay behind?
But why are they so high up? I like being over there.
But funny thing is, he literally could have stood at the halfway line and not been offside.
Sure. Yeah.
He literally could have just stood at the halfway line and waited. And yo, foot race, you got them. You got all these mans,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, just that, look, a poor...
Who's on his side? Lucas Vasquez? No, wait, that's his team. Jules Koundé?
Koundé.
You tell me you can't catch Jules Koundé, and Jules Koundé is usually up, so it's Cabral.
And Mbappe was playing in the
he
second...
He played more centrally, but he stayed to the left because in the first, the offside for the goal, he can see Cabral's back.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's his job, is to be able to stay behind Cabral.
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 Who's
Cubarsí, I'm
Cubarsí.
Sorry.
Cubarsí. I'm like, all right, who's that?
Yeah, sorry.
I'm okay.
He's supposed to stay behind Cubarsí.
Uh-huh.
Because he's supposed to be able to see both center backs to be able to sort of spring.
Yeah, yeah.
And he does it on the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So he slides left anyway, which is where he's most comfortable.
Yeah.
I just don't think it works with him and Vinny, bro. They got to sell Vinny to Arsenal. I'm sorry. They got to sell Vinny. I mean,
yeah. We're just throwing out ideas.
I love my brainstorms right on the board. Right on the board. We'll get to it later.
Yo, Vinicius Jr. at Arsenal would be crazy.
It would be wild. I'm hearing rumors of Rodrigo wanting to go there. And I'm like, cool. Can we get Vinny, though?
That'd be wild. Rodrigo from Madrid. Okay, that'd be interesting too. So anything else in this game? I mean,
what is the table there? Barca's 6 points ahead now. 6 points ahead. Dude, the goal differential is crazy.
Goal differential.
Yo.
We're looking at it now, dude. This is,
bro, what?
27-10?
That's bananas.
That's crazy.
11 games played. Have you seen the list of the top four goal scorers in La Liga?
No, I've not seen
it. It's the three, the front line of Barcelona, and then Vinicius. I believe it's Vinicius.
This is crazy.
27 is the goal differential. Fam, if you are also a Real Madrid fan, you need... I know that's not the team name for before the Europeans start getting in our mentions. y'all need to catch these dudes on points because you are not going to do it on goal differential. I don't think there's a way back.
Villarreal in third with a goal differential of one is also pretty wild.
Winning dusty, but they winning. I watched a Real Betis versus Atletico Madrid match. Mm-hmm. Real Betis won.
Okay.
What's his name? Came out. Johnny Cardozo came out of the match towards the end. A little bit of a knock.
Okay.
But the question they asked to Manuel Pellegrini at the end, it's so stupid that as an American I get proud of this. Also, as a dude from Jersey, they asked them. They go, "What about Johnny Cardozo? Is a jugador muy importante para ustedes."
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, "Sí, es muy importante." I was like, "Oh my god,
okay,
one of us is very important to this." This, you know, lounge singing looking manager.
The last thing we'll wrap on is the Ballon d'Or, because we were hearing very regularly and pretty often that Vinicius has already been told. This was the initial report.
This is what we all heard.
Vinicius had already been told that he was the winner of the Ballon d'Or, and then Fabrizio Romano tweeted earlier today that Vinicius Jr. will not be traveling to Paris for the Ballon d'Or ceremony because he has been told that he is not winning the Ballon d'Or. So,
which, by the way, I'm a Vinicius fan. I think he deserves to win it.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, you got to go. If you're one of the nominees, you got to be there.
Yeah.
There's no question. It's you got to honor the night. You got to honor the award.
There's something about the fanfare around it. I'm not a Ballon d'Or head like maybe some people are.
It's an important...
This is honestly... and
there was a chance I would have been invited to this one. You know that? I met one of the guys when I was at the Champions League final.
Interesting.
And I was trying to negotiate for us to get invited.
Okay. All of a sudden, I actually think this is one of the most important ceremonies that has ever existed in world football.
Well, maybe you won't repeat that after I say this, which is apparently it's not a thing that's easy to get invited to. Although I heard there's a lot of seats with no Real Madrid people going.
I know, we could have taken their spot. So Fabrizio Romano had tweeted, not even one representative of Real Madrid expected to travel to Paris tonight. This is the club's decision after Vinicius Jr. was made aware that he will not win the Ballon d'Or. So I don't know how it got from...
This stuff usually leaks.
He's definitely winning.
Oh, how it got from that to you ain't winning?
You ain't winning at all.
It's kind of a popularity contest, and he didn't... The one knock against Vinicius's year is international football.
Yeah, because Rodri, who we all sort of expect, won the Euros. And won Champions League, yeah. and obviously a very, very successful,
year.
So this is honestly my only reason that this is like slightly frustrating, because I think Vinicius Jr. is a very deserving candidate.
I think he should have won.
I think he should have won as well. The one weird thing in my mind, when you can think about this, what you know, I think of it what you will. Who's the last black player to win the Ballon d'Or? I can't even think. I don't even know offhand who it was. And did
Eto'o win?
We can look it up. Let me see. Let's just pull up the Ballon d'Or winners in general, because I don't remember what's the last one. And this felt like that was gonna be the case this time around.
It's Ronaldinho.
Okay,
but was he the last one? Karim Benzema. What do we consider him? Is he African player?
He's in. He's Moroccan? French, but he's French. He's French. Right. So, okay. But he's not of. I guess he's not a black player.
Ronaldinho was the last one.
Okay, maybe so.
2005.
So it's been a minute.
Damn.
So that was my first thought of like you know, a deserving candidate, and I was actually, to the degree where I was like, who decides on the Ballon d'Or? Like, who are the voters? And so basically it's 100 voters, and they are decided based on they're like representatives of different media agencies all over the world, but there are just simply 100, and they get the ability to vote. And stuff like that. So
when do we get our shot?
That's what I'm saying, bro. Hundo. So it's a difficult, voting a block to get into. But you clearly have a lot of influence.
This year's winner is Vinicius Jr. 2 votes to James Sands.
So and
that's how you'll know. We
and
were
the
involved.
Three categories that they base who they award it to. It's based on individual performance, the decisiveness, and impressiveness.
Nice.
So
all things you can rate with stats.
So very kind of,
but
nebulous.
It is overall. It is club and country.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. No. This is why Erling Haaland can't get even a sniff, because he can't even get into international.
Norway can't even qualify for anything. I will say the goalkeeper award is called the Lev Yashin Award.
Yes. My man with the hat.
Right, my guy with the hat. Mm-hmm. Bro, which by the way is what I said. When I was at Rangers, remember I went to a Rangers match? That when you go to one of the suites are like little rooms, little wooden rooms. They bring in former players to just kind of shake your hand and talk to you. I didn't recognize this dude. He was very old, but he went by Wee something. He was very, very popular Rangers player, very popular Scottish national team player.
Uh-huh.
He was like, so he's like, I was supposed to play for the Tampa Bay Rowdies, I think he said.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I was blah, blah, blah. He goes, and he was talking about his career. And I'm like, so intrigued, man. This guy's giving me old stories. He goes, so yeah, it was me and Lev. And I go, Lev? And he goes, Yashin. I was like, the guy with the hat? I go, you played with him? The only photos I've ever seen of this man are in black and white. I want to be like, dog, how old are you, dog? And then we can walk outside in the hallway. He's got a picture of him. It's in black and white. And it's got like the shin guards that look like there's like actual like sheetrock in this man's
hilarious.
Socks. I was like, oh my God, this dude is old. Dance protect up. Him. Also, here's the other quick thing. We're talking about Manchester United at the beginning. Did you hear that Manchester United asked Manchester City if their players could go to the Ballon d'Or on Manchester City's private jet?
I did hear this.
And
yes.
City said, nah, broke boys. Get up out, bro.
Okay.
Could you imagine your biggest rival and you're like, yo, could we hop a seat on your
some
plane?
Some of that brokenness might get on me.
Can't oh, hell, dog. Nah, yo, bring in your fast food on our plane.
What is
nah
Popeyes? Bro,
damn,
take it easy,
nah,
bro.
Yo.
I did hear that the reason was that there wasn't any space, but I'm sure that's what you say when you don't want to hang out with too many.
Where am I gonna put my feet?
I ain't got no empty seats, dog.
Nah, dog, it's hilarious. All right, let's wrap up there. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We have an exciting episode on Thursday, on Halloween, because we have an incredible, it's going to be a food, heavy food-related episode. Just Ooh. So be on the lookout, especially if you like that bread.
Hey.
Literal bread, okay?
United's like, can we get some bread? We can't even fly our own players.
United's like, please, sir.
Yeah, man, have some more.
So thank you for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe to the Cooligans here on YouTube, or whether you listen to the podcast, whether you're watching as well. Hit the subscribe button. Tell a friend.
Hey.
Enjoy the rest of your Halloween week.
Yeah. Everyone but Tony Hinchcliffe.
Come back. There'll be a lot of tricks and treats on Thursday, because Alexis loves Halloween more than
treat.
Anything.
It's a trick.
It ain't tricking if you... Anyway. all right. We'll see you on Thursday, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.